Hey guys, the presenting sponsor of today's Locked On Pacers podcast is Draft. It's actually Draft Wednesday across the Locked On Podcast Network. So what is Draft? It's a daily fantasy snake draft style betting system, better than FanDuel because it's not salary cap and there's no way to game the system, that you can download today. And if you do, you get a $3 voucher, you put $10 down. It's a $13 value for just 10 bucks. So how does Draft work? Draft's pretty simple. There will be leagues of either 3 teams or 6 teams or 10 teams. And what you do is you put whatever the pot is, so it could be 3, could be 5, could be $10, whatever it is, you put that down. Then you wait for everybody to join the league. Once they do, then you start drafting. So it's a snake style draft. That means if you have the first pick, then you in a, like a 6-team draft, then you have the 12th pick. And it goes like that. You pick 5 players, 2 guards, 2 forwards, a center. Once you do all of that, then you have a team. At the end of the day, whoever's fantasy team scores the most points wins. It's a really easy system. It takes out that betting thing, that algorithm type of style that FanDuel has, which is awesome. And if you use the promo code LLPacers, you get a $3 voucher with your first $10 down. And you can play somebody like me or other Locked On hosts. We're all on there. It's really fun. Now to today's podcast.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. I'm going to solo host today's one. So we didn't do a podcast yesterday. That one's on me. Off day for the Pacers. I took an off day. Not much else I can say to that one. And then I could not find a guest for today's Grizzly show. Had a couple in line. They just bailed on me. You know how it is. So I'm just going to go solo today. Probably going to be about a 15-20 minute show. Going to start off with basically just a review of the Rockets game. There isn't much there. I'm going to hit some of the Miles Turner stuff. That's been kind of the swirling rumors right now about his position with this team. There's been some talk about him, you know, switching the lineup, going to smaller, whatever it is. I think he'll still be in the starting lineup, but we'll get to that a little bit later. And then I'll do a Grizzlies kind of preview, quick 10 minutes on that, and that'll be today's show. So we're going to get to this quick Rockets preview after this quick commercial break. Welcome back in a Locked On Pacers podcast. So the Rockets game, pretty bad game. There's a lot you can talk about it. The Pacers were just basically run off the floor from the start. You know, James Harden is really good. Pacers don't have any type of player on that level of James Harden. You know, Harden's probably the front runner for MVP in at least the top three competition right now. He's probably a top five, top three player in the league in general. There's not much Pacers could have done better. I think they got off to, you know, the only way to beat the Rockets basically is to not get down huge to them and is to sort of make it tight. And like any NBA team, if you keep it close, you always have a shot. But the Pacers just left the Rockets open for too many threes early on. Yeah, Eric Gordon, you know, hit a lot of probably farther threes than you want, but that should be part of the game plan. You know, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon love to shoot those like 25-foot threes. I think they've almost mastered it, it feels like to me. So, you know, from the start, the Pacers were just kind of screwed. They got down like 13-2 to start a 13-4. It was bad, and that pretty much was the day. I mean, they made like a little bit of an effort in the second quarter with Sabonis to come back, which was kind of cool. Sabonis scored the first 9 points of the second quarter, so that was interesting to see. He looked really good, and he probably had the best game of any Pacer. I know Victor Oladipo scored 28 points, but, and you know, okay, so Victor had a really good game, but Sabonis was kind of the biggest spark on the team. He seemed like he always is, and so that kind of transitions to me, so I don't want to spend a ton of time on this Rockets game because it was just such a bad game. You got to just take it for what it is. Rockets are one of the best five teams, best three teams in the NBA, are going to compete for a championship. The Pacers are probably not the way it is, but the Sabonis factor. So coming in to the game, you know, we've all been kind of nervous about Miles Turner. I know Pacer fans have. I've been nervous. Tony's been nervous. All of us have been nervous about, is Miles Turner going to take that leap? Is he as good as we think he is? Where is that? You know, he had a pretty good first game of the season, got hurt, so that put him on hiatus, kind of gave us, you know, some time. And the team kind of figured itself out around him not being there a little bit. I don't think it's any discredit to him. I think it's really a huge credit to Domantas Sabonis, who was awesome. First 8 games, Sabonis was awesome. He was double-double machine. He kind of emerges, hey, he should be, you know, maybe a starting power forward, starting center. I mean, he really blossomed in that center position. And we haven't seen enough of Turner and Sabonis together to really, you know, to figure out how they could play. I know Caitlin Cooper said it wouldn't be great if Sabonis and Turner were the same player. Yeah, it would be. But, you know, I don't want to say Sabonis should start over Turner because the Pacers have struggled with Turner. because the Pacers have lost some games in most recently that they should have won. I mean, they should have won the Knicks game, and they should have won. They could have won the Philly one, and they could have won New Orleans. Those are three games they could have won. Instead of being 6-8, they could be. I mean, if they split, let's say they could be 8-6, right? They could be. But you know, Sabonis hurt from one of those, so he didn't play, so that hurt him. But I don't want to put it all on Turner because I don't think it's him necessarily. I think part of the problem with the offense right now is the way they play with Turner is different than they try to play with anybody else, which makes no sense. So what I mean by that is Jefferson will come off the bench and they'll run post plays from three or four times in a row. They rarely do that for Miles Turner. I know Jefferson is a bigger player than Turner, a different style, but Turner, if he wants to be kind of one of those respected centers of the league, has to be able to do some post up one-on-one ISO moves, ISO plays, and they don't really give him an opportunity. They only give him Jefferson. To a Turner, they don't really run that many like plays for him. So the thing about, you know, centers is they really rely on their guards and every player to feed them the ball. It's not like Oladipo, who can just dribble up the court and have the ball in his hands. You know, it relies on setting them up. It is not like an easy, you know, it's hard to set a pick and roll for a, you don't set pick and rolls for centers. You do other things to get centers the ball. Like you put them in the pick and roll and you feed it to them, or you figure out how to cut a guy across. You know, Turner has a unique skill set where he is pretty dynamic, you know, moving. You know, he's pretty fast. He's got, you know, he understands the court. He's thin. He's got kind of that lengthy, like, can sneak through. So you could set double screen, get him open for threes in the corner. They just don't run anything for him, which is kind of frustrating. I know he hasn't, you know, proven that he's some awesome offensive player, but you haven't really given him the opportunity. You know, I would love to see a kind of play where the Pacers run some off-ball screens where you set up Turner for, you know, an 18-foot in the corner or even a corner of three, that type of play. Just give him something, you know, out there instead of kind of just sticking him in the center and making him the pick-and-roll kind of guy. I think that's why they need to play Sabonis and Turner together, because Sabonis is the perfect pick-and-roll. He's big. He's kind of willing. He loves to take that contact. He's really good at setting up, you know, getting the right spot and pushing the defender going the wrong way to get the screen. But Turner has got a little more of that stretch ability, which they don't take advantage of. You know, a lot of times Turner is getting the ball at the end of a shot clock and he's just kind of the throw-up shot, or he's, you know, they run it in and he's sitting out in the corner. Like, that's not how you should run him. There should be plays where Turner gets the ball under the hoop. You know, interesting things where you could run, you know, you could spread out, let Oladipo drive and have Turner cut to the hoop, because Turner has that ability to scoop the ball and dunk it in, kind of things like that, and you're just not seeing that. You know, it's frustrating for sure. It's definitely extremely frustrating for Pacer fans because, you know, Turner is supposed to be the next guy, and I think he just hasn't been given the opportunities yet. But then, you know, take a step back from all this. He's only played in 7 games now. You know, you take that first game, and then he missed 8 games, so he got all out of flow, conditioning a little bit off, just wasn't able to play. Like, he hasn't really played enough games where I'm thinking, okay, we know what he is yet. So I would give him a little bit of time to figure it out. You know, it's a brutal week for him. I'll hit the Memphis game in a minute, but he does play some of the better centers in this league, but he's got to prove himself. I really want to see him, how he stretches the floor against Gasol and Drummond coming up, because I think those are two kind of different centers in the way they play, but they're two of the bigger centers, they're two of the better centers in the league. Gasol maybe not anymore, but at least at one point, Gasol's got some of that crafty old man game, you know. So I would like to see how they use him in the upcoming games, but I think they just got to run more offensive plays for him. They got to figure out how to use him in the offense differently. You know, he's not meant to just be a, you know, the pick and roll, stand out in the corner and get the ball and shoot. No, he's got some good feel around the rim that other centers don't have. He's got good touch. You know, he's a decent free throw shooter. You know, he's a 73% career. I think, you know, just he's decent. You know, give him an opportunity to get a foul, something down low, because I get it, he can't just drive to the hoop with the ball in his hands, but you could set him up down low on some kind of drive and kick, some kind of pick and roll. Just the way they're using him is just seems kind of stupid. And it's just really stupid the way they're using him. And I get it. Victor Oladipo has emerged this offensive kind of talent. The Pacers have it, is really good and should have the ball and hit a ton. But Victor Oladipo is also not a very selfish player. It's not like he's not willing to make the pass if he's a guy open. You know, he's not a guy that's just like, shoot, shoot, shoot. No, he shoots 17 to 20 times a game. I mean, that's what the best shooter on your team does. But he's willing to give the ball up. They just got to set Turner up in different ways. And I think if they play him with Sabonis, there's interesting plays where they could set a pick and roll with Sabonis and Oladipo at the top of the key, run some kind of screen around with Bogdanović or Collison to get Turner down low. I mean, there's just interesting things they could do. Or they could run, you know, a little off-ball thing where Oladipo has the ball at the top of the key and Sabonis the pick for Turner to get him up. I mean, you know, give Turner some opportunities to shoot, you know, out of screens or down low, or set him up. You know, there's different things he can do, and they just have to just give him the opportunities. So, you know, I'm not out on Turner, obviously. I think Turner is still the future. Him and Oladipo right now, it's both like the future of this Pacer team. And I think Turner can be a really good player. They just give him the opportunity. You know, his defensive stats have been iffy. He's got to get his rebounding better. But I think he will, as the year goes on, he'll kind of get more established and figure out what he needs to do. But they just need to give him some opportunity on offense. Because a lot of time with centers, if they feel like they're out of the offense, then they don't play well on defense. And I know Turner's a little, you know, he's not a Dwight Howard where he just disappears when he doesn't get the ball on offense. But if you get him engaged on the offensive end, they're more engaged on the defensive end, and the better the team is. So that's my rant on Miles Turner. I'm going to take another quick break, and then on the other side of this break, I'm going to talk about the Grizzlies and preview the Grizzlies. Welcome back in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. So Pacers take on the Grizzlies today. Like I said, I don't have any guests. Sorry, this is the first time we're going to have this all year. Somebody bailed on me last minute. I'm not going to say who, so it's just what it is. But I'm going to preview the Grizzlies real quick because it's going to be a good game, I think. I think this is an opportunity for the Pacers to steal a game on the road against a pretty decent team, but I think the Pacers are going to win tonight. I predicted that on our Monday show. I think I had them winning by 5 against the Grizzlies. So, you know, anytime you talk about the Grizzlies, you have to start with Mike Conley. Mike Conley is one of, you know, I don't know where he falls in point guard categories, but he's top 15, top 10. He's a really good point guard. I mean, he's a guy who put up 20 points a game last year. I don't think he made the All-Star team last year, but, you know, he's awesome. Mike Conley is really good. He's averaged 20 again this year. You know, he shoots like a 46, 40, 85%, you know, from obviously from the field, from three. You know, he's a 40% three-point shooter this year particularly. That's really good. And he's just kind of the spark in this offense that Pacers are going to have to counter somehow because, you know, it's either whether it's, you know, Darren Collison guarding him or it's whether it's Victor Oladipo or whether it's Corey Joseph or Lance Stephenson, whoever having to guard him is going to have a, you know, a big task on their hands because the things Mike Conley does is he sets up his players really well. You know, he might not be, you know, a huge numbers and assists. I think he's at 5 assists a game, around 5. But he does a really good job of setting up a team and get the offense in a flow, get the ball moving around and things like that. You know, I've watched a decent amount of the Grizzlies this year. I watched them a few times. I watched that Lakers game with the Grizzlies. I watched the Rockets and Grizzlies play on Saturday before the Pacers play the Rockets just to get a preview of it. So I've seen the Grizzlies a couple of times, so I'm trying to figure out their offense. You know, just some advanced stats on you, basically. They have 106 defensive rating and or offensive rating and 104 defensive rating, so that's about league average. You know, they're not – you know, the Memphis is probably the definition of, like, the best 7-8 team, you know, in the past decade. If I had a comparison of Memphis – where they've been in the past like 10 or 15 years, I would say they're the Pacers of the Western Conference. They're consistently the 7-8 seed. They don't go bad. They can make the playoffs every year, but they're not special. They're not going to win a championship. It's the same way the Pacers are. You know, they didn't have a Paul George, but they had Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, who are two, you know, Tony and I said two of the best 25 players, but they're probably 24 and 25 in the league. So just the way it is. You know, the next kind of big guy to focus on is obviously Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol is now, I think he's in his, got to be mid-30s almost. You can look up his age real quick, but he has still got it. You know, he doesn't quite have, yes, his mid-20s Marc Gasol where he was defensive player of the year, but he still has got it. He's 32 years old now, but he got some of that crafty, I don't like to call it like old man, veteran type of understanding of the game where he can, where yes, he might not be able to athletically be where the ball is, but he knows where it is. He knows how to play the player, play to the spot, things like that. You know, he's putting up this season. He's putting up 19 points a game, basically. He's a 19-9 guy every night. I mean, that's awesome for a center in this league. He also tries to shoot the three a lot. He is shooting this year only 33% from three, but he shot 39% last year, and he shot three a game last year. So that's pretty impressive. I would say this year he's up to almost 5 a game. That's maybe why his percentage is down. But he'll be kind of the player to really watch because I think when it comes to Conley, he's going to have his night. Conley's going to have his night. But if Gasol has a really good night, it's going to hurt the Pacers. And I think it's going to come into Miles Turner and Sabonis, how they guard him, who they throw. You know, I think there's a lineup out there where if you play Sabonis and Turner together, you actually have Sabonis guard Gasol just because Sabonis is a better rebounder, depending on how Gasol tries to stretch the floor. And then you actually put Turner up against Dylan Brooks, who's basically playing kind of the small forward minutes, slash power forward. James Ennis is playing power forward. Jerome Martin's got a lot of power forward minutes. Those are kind of the guys who are playing the small forward, power forward, depending on in certain lineups how they do it. I think that's how the Pacers have to attack this. You know, they're going to have to win this game down low, in my opinion, because the Grizzlies slow down the pace a ridiculous amount. I mean, they are one of the slowest teams in the league. They are you know, they're just they're a more traditional team. Yeah, they can stretch the floor, but they're just a more traditional NBA team that you would think of. They don't play with this, you know, high speed offense the way a lot of other teams play. Marcus Gasol probably isn't suited to play at that kind of speed, and that's probably why. And there's a good chance that the Pacers can get the speed going in this game. They can almost sort of, you know, tire out the Grizzlies in some sense. I think so. Here's the stats on the Grizzlies. They're actually the worst team in the NBA in pace, averaging about 97 possessions per 100 versus the Pacers are averaging about 102, which is ninth in the league. So it's a different strategy, which will be interesting to watch. You know, that's where this game will be more interesting to watch is if the Pacers are dictating the game, they'll be winning it. But if you can see the game slow down, all of a sudden the Pacers aren't moving very fast, the Grizzlies will be winning the game easily. And the Grizzlies also don't shoot a ton of threes. On a per-game basis, the Grizzlies are 16th in the league, taking about 28.5 threes a game. So they're about league average. Indiana, by the counters, is 25. So Indiana's in the low end because Indiana likes to push the pace and actually shoot a ton of inside shots. It's kind of the Pacers' bread and butter is those fast-break layups. That's kind of been the reason they've been winning games. But it's the contrast of pace that is going to decide this game. That's really what it comes down to. It's the contrast of pace. The Grizzlies play a lot slower, and the Pacers play a lot faster, and whoever wins that battle is going to win this game. Is there any other player? You know, the other player I'd focus on, the last one with the Grizzlies, would probably be Tyreek Evans. He is the, you know, third. I think he's their second leading scorer, but minutes-wise, whatever, per 36, he's their third leading scorer. He averages about 18.5 a game on about 20 minutes, but he comes up the bench. So he's the sixth man for this team, I would say, at this point. He plays the most minutes off the bench, clearly. He's really good, and he'll be interesting to see how the Pacers try to guard him. I imagine Lance Stevenson will be guarding him. Even if Joseph is in, maybe Corey Joseph will be guarding him, but it'll be one of the two guarding him, depending on what kind of offense they're out there with. And that might be the difference. The Pacers' bench has been You know, I like Joseph. I like Sabonis off the bench a lot. But Stevenson kind of drags that bench unit down. And I know Jefferson may not play. Maybe he does because then they can steal some minutes because his team's a little bigger. But, you know, the Pacers' bench has been very, very iffy at times. Sometimes it's fine. I mean, I think on Sunday, meaning us the Rockets, it was fine. I think the Stars lost that game. But I think the problem with the Pacers is they don't have this number one, you know, starting unit. Which means if they are losing in a game, the bench can't come back. You know, I think the Pacers' bench is better than most benches on paper, but when it comes to actually showing it, sometimes it doesn't. You know, they played pretty well Sunday, but they struggled against the Knicks. That was a big one. You know, I keep pointing it back in because that was probably the most frustrating game to watch of all season. They struggled against the Pelicans as well a little bit. So the Pacers' bench has got to be a little bit better, but hopefully, you know, Sabonis can be kind of the man in that bench unit and lead them. Tyreek Evans will be the player to watch on the bench. So, like I said, this game is going to come down to how the Pacers are able to take the Grizzlies down low and Galt Gasol, how Turner plays him, can he out-rebound him and stuff like that, how Collison and Oladipo is able to guard Mike Conley, who will definitely go off. He'll definitely have a 18- to 20-point game easily, probably even higher if I know, because the Pacers are really bad at guarding guards. You know, guards kill them constantly. And then it's going to come down to the bench unit and can they stop Tyreek Evans. I know it's, you know, this might seem like obvious stuff, but this is, you know, an NBA game comes down to, you know, how you guard the other team's best player and how your bench shows up. You know, that's every game is decided by one of those two things. Usually one of them is a net neutral, the other one's a positive. So, you know, if you look at any game out there, you go out there and you say, okay, did the best player on the other team play well? And if he didn't, then did their bench play well? If they didn't, boom, Pacers are going to win. You know, it's the same thing with Pacers. If Oladipo and Turner don't play well and then the bench plays really bad, they're going to lose the game. Very simple. I mean, sometimes this league is just make or miss league kind of thing. I mean, the Rockets proved that Sunday. They made a ton of threes, and that's why they won. You know, if they had missed, if they had shot 20% lower on three, Pacers win that game. So, you know, that's all I've got for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. You can follow me at FriedmanAdam5. You can follow my other co-host, Tony East, at TEastMBA. And for the rest of the week, I think we have a Thursday show that Tony will be doing. Then we have a Friday preview of the Pistons game. And then a Sunday preview of, I don't have in front of me who they're playing, but I know there's a Sunday preview. And then our usual Monday show will begin on Monday. We might be live for that one together. So we'll see about that one. And then it'll be Thanksgiving week. So we might take a couple days off for that. But look forward to tonight's Memphis game. I think Pacers will win this one and hopefully kind of get back on some kind of winning streak because If they don't, they're you know, if they go on another losing streak, you know, lose another three or four straight games, it might push them out of playoff contention all of a sudden, because the East is, you know, there's a lot of teams in that middle range, but if they fall out of that middle range, it's not going to look good, and they're going to have to start trading players and making moves. And so, you know, and this team definitely is good enough to compete for the playoffs. Maybe not make the playoffs, but they're definitely good enough to, you know, hover around, you know, near the 8th seed. So we'll see what happens with that. That's been today's Locked On Pacers podcast. I hope you have a good rest of your day.